All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to say welcome back to a guest that I had on, I think it was last week. It might have been a week before. He is a senior economist, Mr. Dawit Kabidi. He's a PhD, and he's going to be talking about the where we are with the economy. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for having me.
You are a senior economist for the Credit Union National Association. You have over 8 years of research experience with the focus on trade, employment, and consumer finance. Kabidi has been quoted by Fox Business, CNBC.com, and MarketWatch, among other outlets. Let's talk a little bit about what we've heard now, and that's that the economy is headed towards recession. What should we believe? Because there's a pushback saying that it can't be a recession if jobs continue. And, you know, I'm 68 years old. I remember when recessions came about and people got laid off. How can it be both?
Thank you. So you're right. Like, we have seen two consecutive reports of negative GDP growth. That's, you know, for the first half of the year. And a lot of people looking at that believe that, oh, we are in recession. So the GDP is the measure of economic output. So it just looks at, you know, people's spending, investment, government spending, and also trade balance. And then it gives us a single number of the economic output. And then people look at that. It was negative for two consecutive quarters. And they were, you know, like, oh, are we in recession? But the short answer is we are not. The first reason is because the National Bureau of Economic Research is the official authority in the United States to say if we are in a recession or not. And they look at much more data than the GDP growth to make that decision. And as you have said it, it is very difficult to say that we had a recession when the economy is adding more jobs every month. Right now, we are at the unemployment rate is at 3.5%. It's back to where it was pre-pandemic, and also, like, you know, historically low levels, right? And we are adding jobs. Not only that, you see, you know, like, businesses have a huge appetite for hiring. So, out of June, employers have 10.7 million vacancies, compared to only 5.9 million people that are unemployed. That is almost twice the number of jobs available for each unemployed person. And people are also quitting a lot. Every month for the last 2-3 months, 4.2 million people are quitting and, you know, getting another job. It is very difficult to say, you know, the economy is in recession when people are quitting. We're not seeing any layoffs. So you are correct that, you know, we are not in a recession. But, you know, because of inflation and the Fed trying to control inflation under control, it's raising interest rates. And that interest rate may cool consumer spending. And people are a little bit worried about that. Oh,
so
could we go into a recession because of this?
So for the average American, which I am, who doesn't understand all the intricacies of all of these things, the Federal Reserve clearly wants to slow down the economy. They want to take money out of the economy. And typically that what that does is, in many instances, is bring about recession, bring about layoffs. And so even with these moves that the Fed has done over the last several months, inflation went down 0.25%. And so are we headed in the right direction? These things don't fix themselves overnight. The inflation problem is not going to correct itself in a month or two. And we're not going to go back to things being great and grand again. It's going to take years.
Yeah, so right now, so if you ask me what's the major problem right now for the economy is inflation. Prices are going up. And just a very good example of, you know, to show you that inflation is a problem is if you look at that second quarter report, without, you know, adjusting the economic growth for inflation, nominally the economy actually grew almost by 8%. But inflation was much, much higher than that. That's why, you know, when you adjusted for inflation, the economy actually, you know, contracted. So this tells you that inflation is a problem, and the Fed is right to put this under control because, you know, if this continues uncontrolled, it's going to reduce, you know, people's purchasing power. Because what inflation does is people will have less money in real terms to buy, to spend on goods and services. So the right thing here is, you know, is the Fed going to raise interest rate with just the right amount to put inflation under control without slowing the economy significantly? That's the right balance that the Fed has to make to put prices under control without putting us into a recession. And the Fed is trying to do that right now. You know, they are assuming that they will have a soft landing. That soft landing means that we put prices under control, we don't see significant layoff, we don't see a recession, probably, you know, slight slowdown in the economy, especially relative to, like, a strong economic growth that we have seen last year. But if they put the brakes too much, then, you know, people will not be able to spend because interest rate increase reduces their spending power.
So based on what has happened historically with recessions in the last several decades, what would happen is when the Feds would put the brakes on and slow things mm-hmm. down, and lay people off, and the money would stop flowing as much in the economy. But we're at a point right now where, you know, Republicans are pushing and saying this new bill that the Democrats have brought into existence with raising taxes on corporations, that at some point this is going to stop and create more money flowing into the economy. Who's right? I mean, what's right in this? Is that an assumption or is that fact?
So the key here is, you know, by how much the Fed is going to, you know, increase rates. So if you look at current rates right now, they are between, you know, between 2.125 to 2.5. So that is really a rate that is considered neutral. So remember, when we had a recession because of COVID, the Fed lowered the interest rate.
Right, like almost, it was zero, right.
It was zero, yeah, because that stimulates the economy because it
the money is
borrowing cheaper. People will spend. That has a stimulating effect. So what happened is, you know, now we recovered so fast, but the rates are really behind. So what the Fed has been doing so far is to gradually increase the rate to that neutral level. Actually, like the last two hikes were very aggressive. But still, 2.5 is very, very low. So that's what we should remember. So the question here is, you know, how farther are we going to go up? The Fed thinks, like, you know, 3.5% increase will be, you know, a more restrictive, like in the range of, you know, slowing the economy down, but not by so much that it impacts growth. Because what happens is if they increase more than that, then it becomes, you know, very difficult for people to borrow and spend. It becomes very difficult for businesses to spend on investments. And then that means, you know, they will start laying off people, but we are not in that territory right now. So 2.5% right now is what is considered a neutral rate. And if you look at today's inflation report, it is really good and a very encouraging news. In July, prices have remained flat compared to June. So that's really good news. So we are seeing some signs of slowdown, although a one-month report by itself is not sufficient. But the Fed is looking at these trends before, you know, it makes decisions on further rate hikes.
So if you are just joining me, my guest is Mr. Dawit Kabidi. He is a senior economist for the Credit Union National Association. Let me ask you, can the Federal Reserve itself pull all the right strings to correct this, or is there a confluence of other entities and other things that must happen in order to bring us out of this?
Yeah, so the Federal Reserve has two mandates. Just one is, you know, like full employment, and the other is, you know, stable prices. And we are almost close to full employment right now, so that objective is made. But when you look at price increases in the last year or so, that is caused by
lack of supply,
increased demand, and also, you know, supply chain constraints. So first it was the computer chips that led to increasing, you know, car prices, and then the war in Europe started around February, increased gas prices, and it is very difficult to influence price of gasoline by interest rate hikes. But what the Fed can do is, you know, it can do its part of slowing demand to a certain extent to put things under control. But because we have seen clear evidence of increased demand. But you are right that there is more to be done to increase the supply of oil to the economy and also ease supply chain constraints. And the Fed cannot do this by itself. And we are actually seeing some improvements there. So recently, I think it's yesterday.
Let me get you to do this. Let me get you to take a break. We've got to take a break. Mr. Dawit Kabidi, he's a senior economist for the Credit Union National Association. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Early Room Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. My guest is Mr. Dawit Kabidi. He is a senior economist for the Credit Union National Association. Sir, before we went to break, we were talking about the other elements that are involved in bringing the inflation down and staving off recessions. You talked about the increase in prices. We talked a little bit about the supply side of things and all of these different situations. But, yeah, you know, we're watching. You also brought into the argument or the debate that what's happening with the Ukrainian war also plays a major factor, a major role in this. But when you listen to the politicians, they point the finger at the fact that Joe Biden is president of the United States and he's responsible for what we're dealing with. How much of that is fact and how much of it is fiction?
Well, it's very difficult for us to comment on, you know, political statements, but like what we look at is just the data. So like the event around Ukraine and Russia war has clearly led to the surge in the price of oil. And when that happens, like, you know, OPEC also didn't respond with increasing, you know, the supply of oil. So obviously that has an impact on in energy prices. That is the fact. But then, you know, if we go back to the other supply chain constraints, that are brought by, you know, COVID,
right.
those, we see like a decline on those things. Still, it's elevated. We see, but we are still seeing an improvement. We are seeing an improvement in manufacturing of, you know, semiconductor chips. We hope, like the expectation is that at least that is easing, and probably that will translate into a moderation of in new car price increases in the future. So today's report, for example, we've seen a decline in used car prices. So that is really a good trend.
So the fact that we may be headed towards a global recession, is that something, because this is not just America that's going through this, and so we can control only so much and only, you know, our own bite of the apple. But if we're in or headed towards a global recession, what does that do to our prospects of coming out of what we're dealing with?
Yeah, so like the U.S. is a big economy, and what is going to happen here, it has a lot of impact on the global economy. So as we talked about earlier, so like inflation is a problem, and depending on, you know, how the Fed reacts or how strongly the Fed is going to react, we may or we may not see that recession. But globally, yes, you know, Europe is also in problem, especially, you know, impacted directly or more so by the conflict in Ukraine.
Right.
Is experiencing a similar problem. So yeah, so like a global recession is not good also for the U.S., especially when it comes to, you know, trade relationships. But we have to remember that, like, you know, U.S. economy, most of it is led by domestic consumption. So household consumption or household spending contributes for 2/3 of the U.S. economy. So as far as that, like that area is good, and the investment is good, the U.S. will be able to avoid a recession despite what's happening in the rest of the world.
But even if we are able to, you know, not wind up and avoid the recession, there's still going to be some pain because, you know, as we head towards the winter months and the price of gasoline, the price of natural gas is going to be increasing. And what role is that going to play?
Yeah, so like especially Europe is going to be hit by that because they rely on more Russian oil for their energy. So, like, of course, you know, global oil prices also impacts the U.S. But, like, you know, that with the, you know, the winter price increase impacts Europe more so than it impacts the United States.
You know, sir, I'm listening to you, and you are not leading, you know, us to believe that there's going to be this major panic because we're going into, you know, a recession that may drag us through years. You are saying that there's still some hope on the horizon that we can avoid the recession.
For the U.S., yes, that's our hope, because, and the major reason to believe that is a strong employment report and a very low unemployment rate. That is really like a solid foundation. So it is very difficult to be very pessimistic when the unemployment rate is 3.6%, historically right. low and good by all measures. So it is very difficult to be pessimistic when that's the case. But however, we are very cautious because of, you know, what the Fed might do to bring inflation down that could slow it down. So, yeah, so I'm not that pessimistic. And even if there is going to be a recession, it is going to be mild. That's how I see it, based on the data that I'm looking at.
Well, I'll tell you something. That is great news for many. You know, and even as we see the impact on the interest rates for homes and automobiles going up, those are always the first two indicators that things are going to be difficult, and we're seeing that. But again, you know, the positive signs that you are giving out are great, you know, because it means whatever it is, it's not going to be a elongated pain and suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it for you taking the time out. But we'll certainly do this again and again and again. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. We'll do it again. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I wanted to talk about the raid at Mar-a-Lago and the fact that there are Republicans who are up in arms and demanding that the president of the United States, you know, had something to do, or not demanding, but accusing current president Joe Biden of ordering the raid on Mar-a-Lago. MAGA extremists are calling for violence after the FBI raids, and Trump supporters are excited about the idea of a civil war, and they're talking about taking on the federal government. You know, the far right, which is not so far right when you look at what's happening in the conservative movement today, upset with what took place, and, you know, the fact that how dare the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a federal agency, went into the Trump conclave and certainly sought after papers that did not belong to Donald Trump but belonged to the United States government. And you know what is so outlandish is that these people who call themselves Americans are now demanding that the FBI be defunded. Wait a minute. When some Democrats mention some members of Black Lives Matter after the many different situations where innocent black people were murdered by police officers, and there was a hue and cry to defund police, based on the fact that time and time again, innocent people have been murdered by law enforcement. And so there were some who said we should defund the police, not to completely defund the police. They were ostracized. Even to this day, you still hear people on the right saying, well, Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and candidate for the United States Senate on the Democratic side of things in Wisconsin, he said defund the police. What's different between saying defund the police and defund the FBI. Somebody explain to me how it's okay for people on the right to say defund the FBI, but you can't say on the left defund the police. What is the difference? They're both law enforcement. They're a branch of law enforcement. But you also have these lunatics on the right who are heavily armed who are talking about it's time to act because of what the FBI did, which was ordered to do its job. Let's go to the phone lines, man. Mr. Faustini? Hey, good morning to you, sir. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Sir, are you there? Okay, let's go to Donald.
My name is Don?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, right. I wanted to respond to this knucklehead that called in earlier. I believe his name was Chad.
Yes.
And you had the audacity to offend him by calling Trump a criminal. Well, let me remind you back in history. Remember, he said that, well, Donald Trump was never convicted of a crime, right? So, okay, remember Al Capone? Well, he was never convicted. I mean, everybody know he murdered people. Look, if me and you did what Donald Trump did,
we'd have been in jail long ago.
Well, first of all, who can afford $500 for a lawyer? An hour, $500 an hour, so, I mean, the guy was, I just wanted to bring that to your attention, and I like your response to him, because, he sounded like he wanted to take over your show.
Yeah, well, you know, Donald, unlike conservative talk radio, where a guy who's on the opposing end of things doesn't get 10 seconds to respond. You know, we had a conversation for several minutes, and
that's right. Oh yeah, you guys are fair, and I've heard you. You give viewpoints, but some of these viewpoints are so out of like you were just talking. They're so asinine. They're so they're not. Yet they want to accuse like a Mandela. You'll be probably hearing the Barnes about. Well, he didn't pay a parking ticket.
What else are they going to reach for? Hey, Don. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it.
You betcha, no problem.
And thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Let's go to my friend Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man? Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
First off, good morning. And
good
second,
morning.
We the people are the government, ultimately. And the Republicans are the pro-murder and the pro-death party.
So, Tom, you're the right guy. Tell me what the difference is. Defund the FBI, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others who are running around now saying defund the FBI. Well, what's different?
Yeah, first off, let's get the facts straight. It was one person, I think, in the whole movement that said that out of anger.
That's correct.
When all of that happened, it was not any politician. It was not anybody that said that. If any politician said anything, they said reform the police, which is very, very true. You don't want to have someone going guns blazing to a domestic issue or what have you. So it's reform the police. But to answer your question, I think for some reason they think they have a leg up because they can say the police are closer to them on an everyday basis that we see, whereas the FBI is big government and it's far away. It's in Washington. It's, wherever. So they have no problem saying that, just like they have no problem saying government is the problem. I have a problem with that because we the people are the government. So when you say government is bad, you're really saying that we all are a bunch of idiots, which I guess you could say that we are and aren't. But But that's what I think the difference is, because they know policemen that they see every single day at a more local level. So therefore, it's so much more messaging-wise, it's so much more vitriolic, I guess you'd say.
You
FBI, they all think it's horrible.
Tom, earlier in the show, I had a conversation with a conservative guy who took offense to me calling Donald Trump a criminal. Tom, what the poor guy selling a nickel bag of weed is accosted and labeled a criminal. But Donald Trump, his entire life, has been engaged in criminal activities, whether or not.
Well, and not only that, Earl, he also said to you, he hasn't been convicted of anything, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Chad, Hillary Clinton was never convicted of anything.
Lock her up.
Donald Trump said, lock her up. She was a criminal. All those different things. So what? Hillary gets he calls everyone every name in the book, Donald Trump does. So you know what? I'm fine with Strawberry Shortcake or Radical Rebecca and, you know, and things like that, because they're true. And you know what? He is a criminal. There is no way that any of us, and that's where we really have
Tom, you want to hang on a second?
Sure.
All right, got to run to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You, too, can join the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Ooh, girl, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one. Lady. In my life. Sweet. Let me feel your all over, all over, all over. Stay back with me. Let me die.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm talking about the fallout from the raid of, you know, Mar-a-Lago and former President Donald Trump. And Tom, this is what I just don't understand about this nation. Criminals who are making threats towards the United States government. These guys are saying, I've got my ammunition, right? Lock and load. It's time that we take the government back. We'll make the FBI pay. Tom, why is that allowed to take place? Why do they get a pass?
I would like to say, why don't they join us to get money out of politics, and why don't they join us to get money out of the military-industrial complex is what I would say to them. But also I would say to people like Chatters and CJ and people like this that, you know what, they would be in jail right now for anything that they've done compared to what Donald Trump has done. If they did even one thing that Donald Trump did, I can guarantee you they don't have the lawyers to be able to get them out of the trouble that Donald Trump does. And I don't know why it is that they think that that is equal justice under the law. And that is for anyone that is a progressive, a conservative, a MAGA, whatever it is. Why is it that you guys think that you are less than Donald Trump? Why is it that you don't think that more of yourself? Because I don't think they think very much of themselves, because they have to always prop up Donald like he's a king. People, look at yourself. I mean, get a life. Stop, you know, so, just going along with what Donald wants.
So, Tom, listen to this, because tomorrow I got a special guest that you're going to enjoy. It is a person who is representing in Citizens United, a national entity that has been put together to challenge that, and certainly I'll have them on in the 9:30. So, just wanted to let you know ahead of time, a national entity. But here's what I'm trying to get at. Lock and Load says the top comment related to Mar-a-Lago search on Patriots. Pro-Trump comment form that emerged as Reddit banned the then Donald Trump group of nearly 800,000. When one user asks, are we not in a Cold War at this point? Another suggests that violence is imminent, with the authentic pain coming soon. These are threats. I already bought my ammo. Civil War. Pick up arms. Propel Civil War II. Just kicked off. Let's do the war one step closer to a kinetic civil war. Help me understand, Tom.
These are people that shouldn't be getting media attention, first off. These are people that belong in nut houses, honestly.
Yeah, but they're armed, Tom, they're armed.
I know they're armed.
Well, let's do this. Tom, hold your thought.
They're nutty.
Let's bring on CJ. CJ, what's going on?
Well,
explain that. Explain that, CJ. You are one of those guys who talked about a Democrat saying defund the police. Here you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene saying defund the FBI. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that it's been politically weaponized. It was proven that the Clinton campaign, and it's still being investigated, was the one that bought the dossier.
No. What's the difference between the Republican political party saying defund the FBI and you and others constantly saying Democrats said defund the police? What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that I think all should be investigated. Any corruption.
You're changing the subject, man. You couldn't beat you constantly talking about defund the police. The Democrats said defund the police. Republicans just said defund the FBI.
Defund the police.
Well, Mandela Barnes is not a United States Senator. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a Congresswoman.
And he's not going to be a United States Senator.
She is a congresswoman. You show the hypocrisy, man. Don't you see that? You won't
I'm not talking about Mandela Barnes.
Don't change the subject.
I don't want to.
Don't change the subject. Address the question I just put before you.
So
what's the difference?
I believe that corruption anywhere should be investigated.
You're not answering the question.
Your party doesn't.
Tom, do you want to attempt to have a conversation with this man?
I would if it'd be okay with you, because you're the host.
Go ahead.
First off, CJ, good to talk to you this morning, buddy. Second, CJ, I really want to find common ground with you. But the thing is, you keep on spewing facts that are just not true. Earl has said, he's asked you a very simple question, and it's really, what is the difference between someone saying defund the police, which has never been said, by the way, except for by one person that was in the movement, versus defunding the FBI? Can you answer that question? Don't go into a bunch of filibustering. Just answer the question. What's the difference between the police and the FBI?
He can't answer it.
Well, they're two separate entities. It's ridiculous to even compare the two. We now have a candidate from the Democrat Party that believes in defund the police.
You're talking about a candidate, man, as opposed to an elected official who is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's an elected official who said defund
not
the FBI.
State, she will either be reelected.
It doesn't matter. She's elected now. She is elected now.
The FBI with Comey, with Ray, it's been proven that it is now politicized. The Hunter Biden story has been buried. Now it's proven true. The Russian collusion has been proven.
Tom, I don't know. Do you want to continue to try to have a conversation with a man who can't hear? A man who chooses not to hear but only is willing to talk? Tom, go ahead.
But the difference is one is federalized and one is local. Is that why? And you think the FBI is the swamp or something?
No. Ask the people in Racine and Kenosha if they want more police.
You, as Tom said, are filibustering. Because you can't answer. You can't answer a simple question. Because you're a hypocrite. Because you call here every day and talk about the Democrats said defund the police. And now when the shoe is on the other foot, you can't come up with an answer because you're a coward.
The FBI is now corrupt.
Oh.
And the defund the police, the cry for that.
When did the FBI become corrupt?
Oh my God, Earl! It was how about Comey? How about
FBI corrupt under Donald Trump?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Now you taught Bill Barr. Taught what he
all right.
Said.
Hey, okay. Cut CJ, man. Cut CJ. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Jake, you got the last of it quickly. What do you say?
Yeah, I love hearing them dangling and the cognitive dissonance from these people are crazy. Because, you know, yesterday you mentioned the FBI during the Civil Rights Movement, and I'm sure he understands he believes, I'm sure, the FBI wasn't corrupted then, right?
Right.
Probably not at all. Probably the FBI not corrupted during the Bush administration or Clinton because they were going, but... Now that they're an orange stupid boy is under investigation for treason and stealing things, now it matters. Now you have to defund the FBI. I mean, come on, dude. I just want to hear you guys drown continually, and I think you're gonna go brain dead because you're gonna lose brain cells trying to like make this stuff logical.
Well, you can't make a lie ever be the truth, right? You know, when truth enters into the room, lie has to leave, CJ. And you're never going to make the lie out of the truth. Hey, Jake, I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Thank you, Tom. We'll be right back.